What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's the Fightful Select Backstage Report and Q&A podcast for August 12th, 2024. You guys have really been enjoying this consolidated format that kind of gives you an anchor for your week on Fightful Select. Please tell the world about FightfulSelect.com. We would always appreciate that. I'm also trying my best to keep the timestamps and stuff in order. And that way it's easier for you guys to navigate for these longer shows. You know what I mean? So hopefully you guys have enjoyed that and I've made it simple enough to follow in that regard. But we had a bunch of contract news this week and we're going to have a lot more. Like, I feel like every day we have had something. Bobby Lashley's contract up last week, at least according to those that I spoke to. Now, an interesting note. He had a bit of a delayed birthday party this past weekend. Now, for most people, they'd say, well, what the hell does that matter? What? Why are you telling me that, Sean? Well, it's because it was in Texas near the site of AEW Collision, and many wrestlers attended that birthday party. So definitely not getting Bo Callahan'd here, if you're familiar with draft day in that regard. But those that we speak to or spoke to said that he had interest from the fighting world. He confirmed that in a recent interview and effectively confirmed that he was on his way out of WWE by saying that he was going to take a boxing fight. But many that I spoke to close with him said that he was going to be on his way out of the company. So that's something on his way out of the company and into AEW, rather, I should say. Somebody that is in the company of AEW, Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington. Now, I asked about his brother Mark, and I was told that he actually sustained an injury in a match against the Voros Twins back in December for Dungeon Wrestling, but he's working on a comeback. AEW has not confirmed a signing, but Talent tell Fightful that he has been signed with AEW. Now, I don't know necessarily if this is a full-time deal, if it's a tiered deal, whatever that may be, but he has agreed to some sort of deal with the company. LA Knight has agreed to a new deal with WWE as well. Last year, we had reported, because a lot of people asked about his contract, that his contract was up in 2025, but he was looking to renegotiate. He was looking to renegotiate because he had outperformed his deal. This sometimes happens in any business, but LA Knight wanted a more fair compensation. He used an agent, and we're told that despite there were some reports like late last year saying that they were closing in on a deal, that wasn't true. They didn't really kick off those negotiations again until after WrestleMania this year, and he has gotten a significant contract increase and has effectively restructured and extended his contract. So he's staying with WWE for years to come. We can't say the same about the Lucha Brothers. Man, listen, this one was still is a wild one to follow, and there's some interesting developments that could emerge from this. Now, I want to say this. AEW hasn't claimed this. WWE hasn't claimed this. Penta has told people close to him that he already had contact with WWE, like, months ago. Like, I want to say as far back as June is what he was claiming to people that he was talking to. And I heard he talked to quite a few people about it. It was reported earlier this year that by Body Slam that Penta's deal was up this year, with Fightful Select reporting that Phoenix's is up as well. Phoenix's is up in September, but I don't know if it's as open and shut as it appears. Like, there might be some additions to that deal. Now, those that we talked to in AEW said that they had wanted to re-sign them. And Penta had told people that the deals were very comparable between WWE and AEW, but the process kept getting delayed. So AEW was looking to re-sign the Lucha Brothers, and they sort of kept getting put off, and then it became evident to AEW the duo were not looking to re-sign, and it really became evident with that Conan, what goes around comes around to tweet that he posted. Now, Ibu of WrestlePurist reported that the duo are expected to go to WWE. We have confirmed there have been discussions internally. They won't comment on anything as to whether or not they've actually had contact with Penta or if it's a rep, an intermediary, whatever that may be. They won't confirm or deny any of that. And obviously they wouldn't because Penta was still under contract. But this is something that Penta has claimed to people. Now, what I had heard was that it wouldn't be a surprise to see Penta in Orlando sooner than later, but that he reiterated to WWE he did not want to go to NXT, and that he and his brother were a package deal. Not like they would want one or the other. I think they would probably want both of them. But this was a very unusual story to kind of watch unfold, so to speak. Daniel Garcia, that's another one that's a little unusual to watch unfold. So I had gotten word, I want to say late last year, that his contract was up in October of this year. And it didn't make a lot of sense to really drop that then. But he had this big match against Will Ospreay. And I said, you know what? Probably a good day to drop it. And a top talent was like, you know, I think he's staying. I think he may have even re-signed. Now, we had noted in that we had not confirmed that. That was the claim or the hunch of one talent. I think that talent was wrong. I don't think that he has signed. Based on everything I've heard, Daniel Garcia's deal is still up in October. And they did not have a new deal hammered out there. We're going to have more contract news this week as well. The NXT WWE crossover is not done as of now. Last week, Fightful Select had reported that we had heard that Josh Alexander might be a part of that. There were some people hinting that it could have happened last week. It didn't end up happening last week, but this is going to continue as best I know. We saw Jordan Grace, Joe Hendry, Frankie Kazarian, The Rascals, Ash by Elegance, Tatum Paxley, a lot of others featured along in this. And Josh Alexander is another one who doesn't have that much longer on his deal. And he is going to be, or at least the working plan is for him to appear in that regard. Make sure you check out interviews that Corey Brennan did with Sammy D, Social Elite, Jay, Annie Quinlan. Like, there's a whole lot of people that Corey talked to ahead of Scrapper Mania, among other things. People have been asking about the new Roman Reigns song, all that stuff. It was submitted and complete on Friday. I'm told we wrote a report on that as well. But Michael Hayes was back producing his segments as well. That's something that I've been keeping an eye on, particularly because Michael Hayes has had a little bit of help with some of his producing over the last few months, like with a co-producer. Also, Becky Lynch. So last week we had reported that the Instagram post that had everybody in a tizzy after her A&E biography, at least WWE had not been informed of her retiring. They said not that she would need to, but they were giving her her space. She's really enjoying her time off. I was able to confirm that absolutely was not a retirement post. So maybe hypothetically she would come along and retire in like, you know, a week, a month, a year, whatever, whether or not she comes back to WWE or not. That was not intended to be a retirement post. It was just promoting the A&E thing, talking about it, all that stuff. But it was not a retirement post for those asking. Roman Reigns, he did not land in the top three in merch SummerSlam weekend, like live in the venue, Superstore, but he immediately sold out of those belts. They expected him to quickly emerge and challenge for a top spot with Cody, who has really run the gauntlet as far as top merch sellers since he's been a babyface. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm going to try to get those Fanatics numbers as often as I can. Also, Paul Heyman has been backstage with Roman Reigns a couple of times, for those wondering. Some AEW news. They're planning on loading up the Casino Gauntlet match, which they've been very happy about that match type. Like, they see that as their signature match. It took some refining, you know, Casino Ladder, Casino Battle Royal. But the Casino Gauntlet really has worked for them and done really, really great things. Britt Baker was back on AEW TV this week via a pre-recorded promo, which we had reported. She's expected to be back in the venue this week as well. But that's one that was very interesting because I believe the suspension was technically still active while she appeared on screen. So that's one to kind of keep an eye on as well. But lots of AEW news about people backstage. Beer City Bruiser, Clara, Rob Killjoy, Caitlin Marie, BK Westbrook, Jackson Drake were all at that show. A few other WWE notes. We've asked why Dakota Kai was pulled from the WWE Raw match. We'd not heard that she was sidelined. She was on the active roster listing, but we were told that she was not cleared to compete on that episode. Some clarification on the names. So they're called American Made on TV. Gable and the Creeds were not reflected as that internally as of last week. I'm sure they will be this week. Alpha Academy are still using the team's graphics and music and all that, but they're listed by their individual names when they team together on the run sheets. Giovanni Vinci, he popped up on SmackDown in a vignette. We're told that he was ready to go for quite some time, but they wanted to wait for the right opportunity and wanted to wait for the right moment. They were able to get that. They're bringing him back to SmackDown imminently. I think within the next few weeks, he's supposed to be back. I was told, you know, maybe expect after Bash at Berlin or maybe around then or something like that. So keep your eyes peeled on that. Good to see him. He is very athletically gifted. Let's get into your questions, my friends. Right out of the gate, this was something that I added to the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. For those of you who don't subscribe to Tier 2, I do a look back every week on all of our scoops, and it's largely the stories that we publish, but sometimes I'll add little notes. And this question was one that stood out because someone asked about when do you think they will announce that AEW is running AT&T Stadium. I don't think they're running AT&T Stadium. I think they're going to run Globe Life Stadium. So this is something that we had slid into the Fightful Wrestling Weekly back around the time that we had reported this. So at the time, it was teased that it was a possible stadium show to us. And then later on, let me tell you, there was a little bit of heat from Dallas on that one. They weren't ready to have that information out there, but I do know someone locally. And then they expanded on it anyway, and they said, yeah, I believe it's going to be Globe Life Stadium. Tony Khan said, well, you know, we don't have it in the immediate future. And then I posted on Twitter, I wouldn't call 2025 the immediate future, but don't know when they're announcing it. I would imagine that all the questions that you guys have about Tony Khan's impending announcements probably involve something related to that and probably something related to the TV deal. I do believe they're getting a TV deal done. I think they will get, as far as the money that they've landed from that deal, which we don't know exactly what it is. We don't know exactly what their first deal is. I believe that Brandon Thurston had estimated that before Collision, it was about $44 million average annual value, and that after it was maybe like $75 million. I think they will end up getting twice as much, at least, as what it is that they make now, at least. Now, I want to mention this and be very specific about it, and people can refer back to it whenever. I don't know necessarily what all that includes, because this deal is not as easy to predict as like, oh, WWE is shopping the Raw rights, because you have AEW Dynamite, you have Rampage and Collision, the ability to flex nights for those, you have the new Overdrive program, you have the ability to market AEW ROH, you have the possibility of integrating pay-per-views, next-day streaming, the library, exclusivity. I'm sure AEW wants to bring back Dark. I'm sure they do. Would that be included as well? It is much more difficult to predict an all-inclusive deal and what that might be, as opposed to WWE, who is, you know, it's like a machine now. They're like, we're going to license each individual property, and each network or platform can probably afford one of them, and it's worked out very well for them. For AEW, it is straight up a different business plan. Like, they're not a publicly traded company. They can sort of invest much differently than WWE can. But I think that regardless of the package, I think AEW ends up doubling what they have now. At the least, I think they end up doubling. And yeah, I think they end up announcing Dallas Stadium like before the end of the year is what I was told when we reported it. Globe Life. Brittany says, where's Wardlow? I asked someone in AEW this, and they said, that's a good question. So I'm trying to find out. Ignacio says, if you were booking All In, would you have Nigel McGuinness interfere to cost Bryan Danielson the title match and his career? No, I would get Nigel McGuinness involved in the show somehow, but I wouldn't do that because, like, I know that they've had their, like, commentary thing and all that, but then what's the payoff? What's the payoff to, like, they can't wrestle after that, right? So I don't think so. What's the update on Stephanie Vacker? Is she appearing on NXT soon? She's about to get the move done. I mean, she signed, and now she's got to relocate, so they'll give her some time to do that. Any plans for Mox or Okada for All In? I would be surprised if Okada wasn't in the Casino Gauntlet, as I know that they want to load that up. I haven't been told for sure, but I would be surprised if he wasn't. Jared says, loved seeing the live reaction of the OTT fans to the announcement of Finn and JD. Are we going to see an ever-increasing amount of these outside appearances, or do you expect them to remain semi-rare? I think they'll happen more regularly. I mean, if you mean OTT in particular, well, I don't know about that, but like we saw MJF and Ospreay on Rev Pro. Isn't it interesting that MJF sort of localized that championship and has made it more international than it's ever been? Do you follow the Olympics? And if so, what made you most impressed? For me, it was seeing Duplantis clearing 6.25 meters in the pole vault, being from Sweden and all. I love Olympic basketball. I was on the edge of my seat for today's game. I do believe that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese both should have been on the team this year. But next go around, I'm looking forward to seeing them. Man, I also love amateur wrestling. Helen Marola still doing it, getting a bronze at 57 kilograms. But Amit Allure and Sarah Hiltebrand as well. Like, to be able to do what you see out of Allure as well, like at, how old is she? She's like 20, maybe? So she'll have the opportunity to go back in 4 years, and then 4 years after that. And, I mean, maybe based on what we see out of Helen Marolis, maybe 4 years after that as well, because Helen is 32, she'll be 33 next month. So, like, who's to say that Amit might not win, like, four straight gold medals as an amateur wrestler? She is a monster. I think every MMA and wrestling company should be trying to get her. I wish Helen Marolis would have made that switch a few years ago as well. I honestly, when Fightful started in 2016 and there was the games then and she won gold, I was like, okay, she's got something special. It could be her, but she wanted to continue the Olympic path. But, you know, if she wanted to transition, I think that she would do really well also. What's the status on an AEW media deal? And somebody asks, will it be for 3 or 5 years? I think it'll be for 5 years. And I think by the end of it, that's when the majority of the world is just going to be on some sort of streaming element or platform or something like that with potential bundles. I don't, you know, we're very clearly running in circles here. But from what I understand, the meeting between Tony Khan and David Zaslav in Paris went very well. So I would expect something to be done. Have you heard anything about Koshe Irby's live event strategy? Well, I mean, they ended up working out this residency that I believe is leading to the stadium show that's happening in Dallas. Like, I think it all works together in that sense. But making money, saving money, I know that there were some, like, travel logistics things that he sorted out very, very quickly. Like, You really don't think about how much money is spent on trucks driving from one place to the other. And I know that he sort of solidified some of that. Jaquise says, is there an update on Jacob Fatu? Is he really injured or is this a storyline injury because he can't go to Berlin? I think you might be onto something, Jaquise. I think you might be onto something. I'm not confirming that. I'm just saying I think you're onto something. People I talk to immediately were like, I think that boot isn't real. But listen, I hope that's what it is. And I hope that eventually those issues are overcome because, listen, this guy is a very clear main event level talent. And they got to be able to send him overseas for as much as they've globalized WWE. But yeah. Alex Windsor made a nice showing for herself on Rampage and ROH. Has there been talk about her coming aboard full-time and her and Will moving stateside? That would, if that's something that she wanted, I think that it would happen. Will has been very honest and open about how he doesn't want to have them uproot their lives if they don't want, considering all that they had been through personally. And I respect that, and I know AEW has respected that as well. But yes, she did make a very good impression there. And yeah, it's somebody that they're always going to have their eye on, but it's a matter of comfortability there. Pick one wrestler from WWE and one from AEW you'd want to see have a match with Andre the Giant. WWE, it would probably be Rey Mysterio. In AEW, it'd be Claudio Castagnoli. I would want to see the contrast in styles between Andre and Rey. And I mean like a prime Andre. I'm not talking about like WrestleMania 3 Andre. And then I would want to see if Claudio could swing Andre. How's Adam Copeland's recovery going? Good from what I understand. Shannon says, what are the chances AJ Styles appears live at BFG? I think that right now is the likeliest that it's been since he's left. And that's even when he wasn't under WWE contract. Like before he had signed with WWE and had the ability to do it. I think now is the likeliest it's been because that relationship wasn't too hot there for a while. And I think he should go into the Hall of Fame as well. But I think that would be very cool. Is there anything to why MLW is working with CMLL and not AAA anymore? They felt like it was the best arrangement for them. And I know they reconfigured their roster to apply that. Like, that's why Sam Adonis wasn't working for MLW and a couple other people, because they effectively made that switch. Heard anything about plans for Ludwig Kaiser regarding Bash at Berlin? I've not, and WWE is very hit or miss about whether or not they put these people in big spots on those shows. Like, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa should have had a big spot in Cleveland. And they kind of did the night before. But, like, why couldn't they have helped out in the main event? You know what I mean? Of the SummerSlam show. That would have gotten a good pop. But they can be really hit or miss about doing that. But I've not heard that yet, but I don't think it's an accident that they made sure he was back in time. Any intel on if a new free agent signing will be a part of the Casino Gauntlet? I know there are some, how should I put it, fresh names that haven't wrestled in AEW before that they have discussed being in that match. Do you see WWE changing the look of Raw when they move to Netflix? Yeah, I think they'll change everything. I think it'll be new look, new feel, new music, everything. I think it's time to establish a new era in that sense. So we've got Raw images that we use, and like there, some of them are red based and some of them are white based. They've been red based for a long time, since they started, right? I wouldn't mind them going for a little bit of a lighter base in that sense. I'll give you a good example. So like a lot of times, like on Prime, instead of just seeing a guy with a gun or something, you'll see a nice sunny background. Back in the 2000s, USA had a blue skies approach where a lot of the shows like Royal Pains and Burn Notice and Monk, stuff like that, they were based in the daytime as opposed to the nighttime. And I think that switching that up just a little bit, first off, making sure all the venues are good and bright, the imagery brightening that up. We do that with Fightful plenty of times as well. Different approach for different seasons. Is WWE confident about getting Becky back eventually? Yes. Yes, they are. Any update on Julia Hart? I think she needed surgery and ended up getting it, I believe. How does Scott D'Amore's Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling work? Is it going to be like a local indie? Or is there plans to make it a larger indie like GCW? As of what I've heard, it's a local indie to start. And obviously, everybody wants to get to the level of GCW. That might be hyperbole, but like, listen, GCW sells out shows everywhere. They get buzzed. Even when they have even when they put on shit like me wrestling, it ends up doing well. You know what I mean? Somebody that's in it, like, you want to develop brand trust that really expands beyond the fact that you're doing a show like that. And I'm sure that's what they want, and he wants to rely on his reputation as a personality and a booker and a boss. But it's starting out as a local so far. Legally speaking, if they wanted to, is it possible for WWE to buy out the contract of someone like Joe Hendry from TNA? If Hendry and TNA are open to it, and the reason is, it's because they're independent contractors. Now, in baseball, basketball, etc., you're able to do that. You're able to trade people. You're able to do a lot of that stuff. But as an independent contractor, unless you expressly consent to that within your contract, you have to agree to the company that's sending you somewhere else. I'll give you an example. Years ago, the UFC and I think it was ONE FC worked out a trade. Ben Askren to the UFC for Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. Completely one-sided trade in retrospect. Ben Askren is best known in the UFC for getting knocked out by Jorge Masvidal. He had a fight against Robbie Lawler where, honestly, he should have lost that, but bad refereeing led to him somehow coming back and winning with a bulldog choke. When all was said and done, he probably should have been 0-3 in the UFC, ended up being 1-2. And to be fair, Lawler fight was a blast to watch. The Masvidal fight made history, and the Damian Maia fight that he had was historic. But his career was over by 2019. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson is the greatest flyweight of all time, my favorite fighter of all time, and also still in ONE FC. Now, he hasn't fought a ton. He's fought 6 times since this agreement, but as recently as last year. But, I mean, he's been very important for that company and probably draws more viewers than Ben Askren would have anyway. But as a result of them effectively being contractors, so to speak, they had to agree to basically be released by each company and then sign with the ones that they were being quote-unquote traded to. They had to agree to that. So it would have to be something like that with WWE and TNA, where Hendry agrees effectively to be bought out and head somewhere else. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to sell you this independent contractor. In a somewhat related question, somebody says, is Thunder Rosa done with AEW? She actually did have her deal bought out by AEW when she was in NWA. But no, she's still there. They just finished up a feud with Deonna Purrazzo. Are you surprised to see that Bad Blood and UFC 307 are on the same date? Yeah, I am. But that's going to happen here and there. I'm just glad they're not moving WWE pay-per-views to Sundays. I just think that not competing with the NFL is a good idea. Is Penelope Ford still with AEW? If so, why are they not using her? She had been sidelined, but yeah, she is still there. She's still on the roster page. But yeah, she's still there. Any idea why Dave Scherer hates Dave Meltzer so much? The level of animosity is creepy. Thank you. I stay out of that. Listen, I don't always see eye to eye with Dave Meltzer, but you know what? I respect him greatly. I really, really admire the work that he has done for decades and decades, and I don't know if there would be nearly as clear of a path for me to be able to do what I do as if he weren't around. And man, he was very important to the line of work that I am in, and I will... You know, we can have disagreements and stuff like that on anything, how things are covered, like our personal tastes, but I can't speak to the Dave Scherer stuff. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with Dave Scherer. I've spoken with Mike a number of times, and we get along really well now, and I'll say this about Mike Johnson. He was really, really great to me after the passing of my grandmother, which... was, you know, monumental in my life and something I haven't recovered from. But he gave me some really great selfless advice. And obviously the week after that happened is when the Triple H backlash presser happened, and we were both kind of singled out in that sense. And you know what? Comparing notes in that regard was also very useful as well. But I got a lot of respect for Mike as well. But I can't speak to the Dave Scherer stuff because I don't know the guy, and I don't know why he has that issue personally. SRS, what do you see next for AEW to push them to the next level? You got to make it cool again. And I mean, I think it's a good show. I really enjoy the in-ring. The pay-per-views are unbelievable. But I have long said, I think you should make the ticket affordable. get as many people in as you can. I think it starts with the live events. Now, they're doing that a little bit with this residency for Collision, but I think they should tinker with Collision being basically a, well, we're going to book this in a very intimate venue, a different kind of venue, make the tickets cost effective, allow people who couldn't normally afford to go to these shows, especially for families of four or five, that would have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe spend less money. You'll cultivate a new fan base, new fans who couldn't normally attend as a result of that, because, man, it is expensive just to live and exist in this world right now. I think that's very important to all this. Do you have any further clarity on what exactly happened with Thunder Rosa and the rest of the locker room last year or 2 years ago? Not really. I mean, I know she had her issues with Britt Baker. I know that when Thunder Rosa came back, she apologized to a number of people in the locker room, and nobody has had any trouble since. I don't know who all, if anyone had trouble before outside of Britt. But, I mean, she's primarily on Collision, and they it's a way to keep Britt and Thunder Rosa away from each other. Is the Blade still with AEW? Yeah, he had been sidelined. You think we'll see Arn Anderson more in AEW, like Cody's manager, as well as maybe an agent? I don't think as an agent or a producer. I think that that time has passed. I don't think that he was even doing that in AEW. I mean, he's 65 now. I mean, he's, you know, well past the age where he's going to be doing stuff like that. But I think we could see him with Cody here and there. What's the best match you've ever seen in person? I saw an Andrade versus Johnny Gargano match after the Hurricane in 2017 in Orlando at NXT. And then there is the Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. That one was just unreal. Any update on Mustafa Ali signing anywhere? I had a line. It wasn't supposed to go in the Bobby Lashley article. It was supposed to go in a Select Portions article the next day, but it got copied over from another draft on Patreon. You might notice we have a lot of glitches on Patreon, like things that get cut off or words omitted. I don't know why that is, like with ours, but that was supposed to be in the draft that was scheduled immediately after. When I've asked Patreon, they said it's a sheer volume of post thing because we've got thousands of posts. But yeah, it's just the way it is. But yeah, he's, last I checked, he was finishing up with TNA. SRS, will you be at Emergence later this month? No, so that is in Louisville, and it's on my birthday. I will not be going to Louisville on my birthday. If Gail Kim wants to, she can bring me a birthday cake here in Lexington. Heard anything about Trevor Lee working AEW? I've not. Do you foresee more than 8 matches on the All In main show? I think they will do 11 to 12 matches on All In. With Claudio and Kenny facing off before All In, do you think Okada will have a match at All In? I think he'll be one of the names they add to the gauntlet. They need to get rid of that Continental Classic Championship. Like, what's the point? What is the damn point of that title at this point? For him to have it? For him to just exist with the title? He and the Bucks, like, never defend that thing. It's been since, like, May? It's Dax. Yeah, the Dax match. Because before that, like, he won it from Eddie Kingston in March. He defended it in April against Pac. Then he defended it against Dax in May. And then not since then. I know they did the Ultimo Guerrero match on Collision. That was cool. That was fine. But what's the point, man? Do you think Bryan Danielson will win it All In? I do, but I mean this really. That guy's hurting. He's hurting bad. Has Orton been moved over to Raw permanently, or is it for the match with Gunther? It's the match with Gunther. What's the latest on Asuka? She had surgery. How does WWE select which superstars can make indie promotion appearances? It's a lot of give and take. It's a lot of, like, well, we're going to evaluate this, see if it benefits the talent, see if it benefits the WWE and how much it will benefit the indies. But, I mean, WWE got sued basically for an antitrust thing with MLW. So, I mean, this is their way of saying, you know, this is us playing nice with everybody. Is there some kind of exclusivity deal between WWE and Netflix? And do you think they will make a fuss about Britt Baker being announced for Cobra Kai? No, there's not, because WWE is on a number of other platforms. They're on CW, they are on Netflix, Peacock, and USA Network. No, they're not going to have an issue with Britt Baker being on Cobra Kai, just like they didn't have an issue with Samoa Joe being on Twisted Metal. No issue at all. Do you think WWE made it a point to call on you for a question during the SummerSlam press conference after Cheesegate? You asked a great question. Triple H seemed to make a point in saying, "Hey, Sean." I'm past exhausted of talking about the cheese thing, but I mean, listen, I had a conversation with Triple H after that. I can say that it was an interesting conversation. It was a contentious conversation, but I was also probably not in the frame of mind after officiating my grandmother's funeral the day before of having that conversation or being in that position. I was going to be on leave following that, and then I wasn't. I was kind of sucked back into work as a result of that. I appreciated the fact that that was their way of saying my bad, because I sarcastically posted that I wanted French cheese in response to Alfred Kanawha, who is in their pocket getting the cheese plate gimmick, the charcuterie gimmick that a bunch of people got as a part of a Peacock Media thing. But like that was a nice, like, my bad, because my issue with that whole situation was, if you want to say my bad, don't say it off the record, because in my line of work, saying it off the record means it doesn't count, doesn't happen, or that I'm not worth it. So that was their way of making that a thing. And I do think that me getting one of the four or five questions was sort of a, here you go, we'll show people that things are all right with you guys type of thing. And to be honest with you, I don't really care if people like think that or feel that. Like, they can think or believe that WWE or any company feels a certain way about me. I get accused of being too easy on WWE, on being in AEW's pocket, being too hard on WWE, not giving TNA enough coverage, giving certain indies too much coverage, etc. I just like doing my job, and I like to maintain at least cordial relationships with everybody. I don't have to like people. I don't have to, they didn't get to like me or anything like that. I heard a guy who I actually reached out to said, "Oh, well, he wanted people to know that he's friends with Triple H and Nick Khan." I have had one conversation each that wasn't on camera with Nick Khan and Triple H. They are not my friends. We work in contingent or tethered lines of work, so to speak. We're not buddies or anything like that. But I don't have anything particularly contentious towards them. I just do my job. I report some things that they're probably pretty happy about, and I report a lot more things that they're not happy about. But I will say this, I've had my back and forth with AEW PR, WWE PR, TNA PR, New Japan's PR in the past, and a lot of the turnover in that regard as well. But you try to maintain some sense of professionalism, which I know is difficult to believe based on my Twitter conduct at some points, but at least interpersonally, when I'm working with people that show me that same respect, I reciprocate. So, yeah, I do probably think that it had something to do with it. But, I mean, usually if I need a question asked, I don't need to ask at a presser. But I felt like asking one at that presser, and I thought it was a good question. Sorry for the long-winded answer. Do you think the WBD-AEW deal will get done by next month? Do you think AEW will be happy with it? With all the debt and losses that WBD has had. Yeah, I think it'll put them into profitable territory. And again, what AEW deems a success is ultimately at their discretion. And I've seen a lot of people be really, really weird about that. And they're like, "Oh, why is he saying that?" Well, because WWE is a publicly traded company. When you're a publicly traded company, you have to do these things that reflect the best interest of your shareholders. Well, you don't have to, but you should. AEW doesn't have to answer to that. AEW can answer to whatever the hell it is that Tony wants, whatever Shad wants, and their associated partners and investors. if those companies collectively look at it and say, well, you know what? We want to maximize profits as much as humanly possible. Well, then that's what they gauge success on. If Tony says, well, you know what? I just want to break even and enjoy my life and change the wrestling world. Well, I mean, you know, his family's got over $1 billion. They can do that and be just fine. And his lasting legacy is running AEW, and I'm sure he'd be very happy about that. So it ultimately depends on what they deem a success. And, you know, eventually I'd like to do an interview with Tony Khan this year. I've never done one. And I'd like to ask him, what does he deem a success in that regard? On a much smaller scale, let me give you an example. Jimmy Van became massively successful outside of wrestling. Jimmy Van is set for life. He's good. Barring some unforeseen, you know, squandering of whatever it is that he earned. He wanted to start Fightful because he saw a void in what it is that we now do. He wanted to change things. And he operated Fightful at a monumental loss the first 5 years. So much so, like the first year or so, I was like, oh my God, am I going to still have a job? And he reiterated to me, just keep doing this work. You've shown me that this matters as much to you as it does to me. And eventually that paid off. And now we are successful and we can afford to expand our staff and, you know, more than break even now. We're finally a profitable company and we chipped away at those losses of those first 5 years. That's what we deemed a success, to chip away and break even on those original costs. But he didn't need to do this. Tony didn't need to start AEW. He did it because he loved wrestling and he saw a void and a gap. But yeah, eventually I'll hopefully get to do an interview and ask him, what do you see as a success? You mentioned last week you believe Danhausen will be back on AEW TV eventually. If you had to guess, when, where do you think it will happen? Probably around Halloween for some tie-in. Heard any plans on TNA stars to appear on Raw or SmackDown, or are they going to be strictly NXT? Strictly NXT as of now. Maybe Rumble stuff. Do you have those receipts ready on Twitter specifically for any upcoming massive announcements? So, outside of whenever I see somebody that is just defending really, really gross stuff, I don't really argue on the timeline anymore. I mean, I'll highlight when somebody's being a jerk and they block me, but I bookmark those things when I see them. And then I go back to that bookmark folder. And let me tell you, pretty soon, my Twitter is going to be insufferable. It's probably already insufferable to a lot of you guys. But no, I see a couple right now. Nah, man, you got it wrong. Sean wouldn't lie to us. There's one that says, where is Thigh Boy Sean Ross the simp now? Oh, those are getting quote tweeted very soon, my friends. Very soon. Someone asks, Sean, have you ever been charged by a talent to do an interview for Fightful? If so, has there ever been a situation where you said, no thanks, you're too expensive, thanks? We would pay, like when Shane Helms, Elias Theodoru, Frank Trigg, Riddle, those people did the podcasts with us, and they were regular podcast hosts, we pay them. Otherwise, we have never paid anybody to be on here. And listen, I know there are a lot of people that believe that they should, we should, but just not what we're going to do. We just won't go in that direction. And that's okay if some people don't like that, but it is trading the promotion of whatever project they have going on for us doing the work, our platform. And the reality is we lose money on 95% of interviews as is. And that's an easy way to make it 99%. Any word on Stone Cold Steve Austin having a match at Mania 41? It's something that they always discuss, throw out, and gauge interest on. So I would imagine that he'll at least be courted for such. Guys, thank you all so much. Appreciate you all. We're out.